Okay, this is part six, seven, excuse me, of a 10-part series about the 10 Makos, trying to glance at some of the Makos and the elements of the Makos from a bit of a fresh perspective, of course, through the lenses of Chazal and Mefarshim and just reading some of the Psukim. And in particular, as this series is being delivered in April, Erev Pesach of 2020, with a particular accent upon the relevance to this global pandemic of corona, with the assumption, of course, that Makos aren't just punitive for the Egyptians, but they're educational on many levels about our culture, our morality, our religion, our interactions for Jews and non-Jews alike. So something we can take to heart and appreciate, try to create these associations between the Makos and what we're experiencing. So Barad is a very, very busy Makos. There's a lot happening. Just try to highlight four or five elements that, to me, are not just prominent in Barad, but they're also relevant and resonant. What stands out about Barad is there's a lot of sound. It's a very, very loud maka. It's probably the loudest maka, or there could be a competition of the auditory level between Makas Barad and Makas Tzfardea. A lot of croaking going on in Tzfardea. But we tend to focus in Barad simply when we just read it on the fire and the water, the hail, because modern-day Barad means hail. But there's a lot of noises. And Vahi Kolos Uvrakim. Let's find the pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu threatens him, if you don't, release the Jewish people. Vayhi kolos, Hashem nasan kolosu varad, natialach eish artza. So of course the sounds, first of all, they're very reminiscent or prescient of Har Sinai. Vayhi kolosu vrakim, it's not kolosu vrakim, it's kolosu varad. It's a bit of an irony because Paro begins this saga by saying, Mi Hashem asher eshma bekolo, and now he's hearing Hashem's strong voice. Not the voice of Hashem, but the voice that Hashem calls into being, obviously. But there's no question that Chazal trace the thunder and the loud noises and the presumably flashing lightning that occurred to a fear and a panic. And we all felt that shuddering of our hearts when there's heaven cracking with thunder and the sky is radiant with these forked lightning. Gemara in Brachos and Daf Samach Gimel talks about that Ra'amim are there to straighten that mumiyah shebalev, the perverted or distorted pathways of a human heart rather than the straight, honest, forthright thinking process. There's a lot of fear. Most of these makos produced fear. Sometimes the fear was because how sudden it was. Sometimes the fear was because their lives were at stake, Tzfardea, assuming Tzfardea were crocodiles. But now the fear is just because of standing in front of something beyond you. I think a lot of people are feeling that fear during this crisis. So the first thing that struck me. Second thing that struck me is HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls this Kol Magifosai. If you don't release the Jewish people, Ani Sholechas Kol Magifosai El Lipcha. Let's talk about the phrase El Lipcha in a moment. But the word Kol Magifosai is intriguing. What renders Barad as opposed to the others Kol Magifosai? So part of it is that this was a maka that affected almost every sector of Egypt. It affected the human beings, affected the king, affected the slaves. And the Torah is very deliberate in highlighting each of the targets. It affected the trees, affected the crops. It affected the land, the Gvul Mitzrayim. So it affected the animals, it affected the Sada. So there's a lot of victims. Different ways. In fact, the human beings in the homes, you can imagine having animals in the homes. What did it smell like to have the animals in the home? Those people feared Hashem. What was it like to spend? We're all spending time in quarantine, but I hope we're washing our hands with soap to prevent the pandemic, and also we're showering just to maintain proper hygiene. You can't expect animals to shower. So I've just had many, many, many fronts to it, many, many victims in many different ways. That's why it's referred to as Kol Magifosai. Hashem is could have thought it was a single sector process, and Hashem can overcome and overpower one sector, but the other sectors will rally and will survive, and that's how it was for the first 5 or 6 Makos, but now it's the entire tidal wave. And I've said so often that we feel like, who hasn't been affected by this pandemic? And in the past, humanity has faced crisis, but they've been economic crisis, or a medical crisis, or a political crisis, or a cultural crisis, or a moral crisis, or whatever, when it's all one, when it's all one event, one single small virus has such a broad, broad impact. That's certainly something that it sounds like we're facing. What's interesting about this komagefosai term is that it's not just multiple targets and victims, but multiple elements. There's a lot of different forces at play, fire, water. I'll talk about that in a few moments, but one of the multiple elements was these boulders. Bar wasn't just light hail, like we all run outside, we enjoy some hail, some good hail or snow, but these are really heavy boulders falling on them, and Chazal amplify and cross-link with certain episodes in Tanakh where Hashem threw boulders at his enemies to help the Jewish army. So there's blunt force being crushed by boulders, being broken, bones are broken. And then the boulders exploded into fire. So you really had a double force. You had blunt force and then heat, incineration, conflagration. So you had a plague, a situation where there are multiple forces at work. I think we're first learning the medical impact of coronavirus, but it's not many, many people don't die from the coronavirus. It's the other secondary. I just spoke to a boy whose father is ill, Shneur Shlema, says that now his father's not suffering from the, forget the exact term, but where the lungs are the lungs are secondarily affected by the corona disease, ARDS, I think it was called. People may know the syndrome a little bit better than myself, people with more of a medical background, ARDS. So they were facing one-dimensional. Remarkable until now was one-dimensional, but now human beings are facing multi-dimensions, and that's already a different league that Hashem can control, but human beings have a harder time synchronizing. It was komagefosai, not because it was so quantitatively overwhelming, but because it had so many victims and possessed so many forces at work in common. Which brings me to another aspect, a little bit more moral, that this is one of the makos that has a theological warning. Why? Because ancient paganism is premised or predicated upon the notion that different forces have different gods, and therefore there's so many, such a vast world with such diversity and such dichotomy, there must be different gods. A god for certainly things that are antithetical, good or bad, light and day, fire and water. Hashem's message was, I'm the one singular God, and therefore I can harmonize fire and water. And that's why in this event, HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Egyptians a compassionate out. Those Egyptians who, and they were forewarned, they could have spent time in their homes in quarantine and they would have escaped. Which really didn't exist with any other Makkah. No other moment did the Egyptians have an exit strategy. They just had to bear the brunt of whatever was up. So, and that's why the Egyptians respond, or Paro responds, Hashem Matzadik Vaniyiva Mihar Shaim. He realizes Hashem isn't just a bloodthirsty warrior, but Hashem is a compassionate king. And that sense that we have evil in our world and good in our world, and they all come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we don't understand either sometimes. And sometimes we hit a rut when we can't understand suffering and evil, but we forget that, well, we take an easy buy into good, and when we accept the good, we celebrate the good, and we really think about it, we don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's calculations at all. We just try to hold on as best we can and try to understand as best we can. There's a lot of theology that we're experiencing now, and certainly this whole theological sense of Hashem being Melech Adin and Melech HaRachaman is on display in Shchin. Finally, I think the element of Barad that is reflective of the coronavirus is the phrase El Libecha. Ani sholechas kol magefosai El Libecha, Hashem warns Paro. What is El Libecha? I find the approach of the Sepharno very resonant. The other Makos came and went, and a week later,
They were suffering PTSD, but the effects of Barad were long-lasting. The economy tanked, agriculture, people were sick, fire, smoke, food, nuclear winter, clouds above them, no one could leave their homes. Essentially, this lasted. It's hard to know how it lasted if every Makkah came a month later, but they were still reeling from Makkas Bechoros when Arba hit. There's a combination, there's a tandem effect between the two. So sometimes you've got plagues that come and go, but sometimes you've got what we would call game changers, the shift of paradigm. Well, there's no question that this event is going to shift the way we lead our lives, going to shift the world, going to change our world. And that's why I feel like it's very, very similar to what the Egyptians experienced in Barad. So these are four or five of the elements, the loud noises that created fear and straightening of people's perverted hearts. Different victims, different sectors, trees, humans, animals, people, cattle, different forces at work in combination, fire and water, antithetical forces, able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for everything in the world. And then finally, something that lasts long, they're going to take to heart, they're going to think about for a long, long time, even after the actual Makkah per se concludes.